So the learning today should be a schus ilan ishma sadir chav a chaim aloz ben shem shenarye as well as a schus for an ilan ishama for Rabbi Yaakov Yosef and Chaim Menachem ben Zion. It should also be a schus for a fuhu shleima for Chaim Doi ben Menorachol, Chanalei Abashen Durachol, and Abadati ben Peril, as well as a schus for all those in a makam sakana in Eretz Yisrael, those risking their lives to protect it. So we continue in Gaiva. We are on page 21. Yesterday we talked about that a person who has Gaiva is considered like someone rebelling against Hashem. And he says now, this is why the Gemara in Brachas on Daf Mem Gimel tells us, anyone who walks with a posture that's upright, even if he walks only Dalet Amos, it's like he pushes away the Shechina. Now we're talking about someone who walks in an arrogant manner. He walks like a snob with his nose up in the ear. And the Mishnah Berurah says, not even Dalet Amos, you're not allowed to even stand that way. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan clarifies, it doesn't mean you have to walk hunched over, but it means don't walk arrogantly with your neck outstretched, basically with your nose upright, basically looking down on other people. Why is it considered like you're pushing away the feet of the Shekhinah? Because the Shekhinah comes down from on high, and when you lift up your neck and your nose upwards, so you're sort of pushing off the feet of the Shekhinah that are coming down from Shemayim. Shenemar, why is this considered like he's pushing away the feet of the Shekhinah? Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Meloichal Aretz Kevaydai, the whole world is filled with Hashem's glory, V'ruach Kevayahu Mimidais V'shal Bilam Arasha, Sheshivach Es Atzmai. And having Gaiva is one of the Midais of Bilam, who praised himself, Amar, and he said, Na'um Shemea Imre Kel, that he praised himself as someone who hears the words of Hashem, meaning that he was a Navi, and so he pats himself on the back in the middle of his nevuah, in Parshas Balak, he says, Na'um Shemea Imre Kel, that these are the words of someone who hears the words of Hashem. And there's a machloikas in where exactly Bilam was a Baal Gaiva. One shita holds, and this is the shita of Rashi, that when Bilam told the Sarei Balak, I can't go with you, he says, Hashem does not allow me to go with you. And he points out, with you, that Bilam was saying, you're not worthy enough that I should follow you. I need more honorable men, more men of higher stature than you. That was where Bilam was showing his gaiva. According to the Rambam and others, Bilam is showed gaiva when he referred to himself as Shemaya Imre Kel, as we're saying here in the Beis Halevi. So down on the bottom, he talks about that someone who walks in an arrogant manner not only is this considered a denial of Hashem, but there's going to be an issue after Misa where the Gemara tells us that after 7 years, the spine of someone who walked in an upright manner becomes a snake, meaning the part of the body that normally would be the source of Tchias HaMesim is actually going to become a snake. And although it's always true and important to think about this, but especially when we bow down to Hashem during our tefillos, why? Why is this so important during our tefillos, and why is the punishment so significant that the spine turns into a snake? So the Taras Chaim explains that Hashem is constantly doing chesed and performing miracles for us every moment. We walk around oblivious that every step we take, every breath that we take, it's only possible because Hashem gives us this ability. And really, every moment we should constantly be wanting to thank Hashem. But that's impossible. A person has to live his life like a normal person. You can't go and be consumed with thanking Hashem. So Chazal established a point during Shemoneh Esrei where we're supposed to think about and thank Hashem, and that is the bracha of Moedim when we bow down. Because Moedim indicates that really we're supposed to be doing Moedim all day long, but we can't. So we've designated Moedim 3 times a day. Now, if you go and don't bow down during Moedim and you don't have that intent of gratitude to Hashem, so essentially, you're denying not only at that moment, but basically, you're not fulfilling your chiyuv all day long. So, sort of, Moedim checks the box for us that all day long we get credit for thanking Hashem, and that's why it's considered so severe. Okay, then he says about the Mishnah in Avos that says that there are 3 midos. If you do them, you're from the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu, and if you do 3 others, you're from the Talmidim of Bilam. What are the 3 midos of Avram Avinu? If you have an ayin toiv, if you have shval ruach, you're humble, and you're generous. That right, you're willing to help out other people. You do chesed. And what's the mid of Bilam? Is ayin ra, you have a bal gaiva, and also someone who's very greedy. And Rabbi Cheska Levenstein says that we have a misunderstanding. The Mishnah Novice calls them Mitalmidei Avraham Avinu and Mitalmidei Bilam. Now we think of a Talmud as someone who learned from someone else, which means you can't be a Talmud of Avraham Avinu and a Talmud of Bilam because I never learned from them. I never learned directly at their yeshiva. They never spoke to me. But it says the Rabbi Cheska Levenstein, the Mishnah is teaching you that's not what a Talmud is. A Talmud doesn't only mean that you learn from that person, but it means you mimic that person. You're a mini-me of that person. You're emulating that person. And so a Talmud is considered a miniature of his Rebbe. Here, too, that's what the Mishnah means. You're a Talmud of Avraham Avinu if you emulate his ways, and you're a Talmud of Bilam if you emulate his ways. And accordingly, says Rabbi Cheska Levenstein, you could have a Talmud Chacham of the highest caliber who considers himself to be learning in the yeshiva of Avraham Avinu, and yet he's considered a Talmud of Bilam because he follows in the Midos of Bilam. Now, on the bottom, the Gemara he brings down here, the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says that if arrogance would disappear, a sorcerer would cease to exist. What's the connection between having gaiva and sorcery? So, based on the Mishnah, the Inyan Yaakov explains that Bilam was the greatest sorcerer, is characterized as a Baal gaiva to the point that all other Baalei gaiva are considered his talmidim. Like he is the poster child for a Baal gaiva. So clearly, one of the criteria for practicing sorcery is to have gaiva. If so, when gaiva ceases to exist, so too will the sorcerers. And the Gemara demonstrates that sorcery does not have power over water. Why not? Because the Gemara in Taina says water is comparable to being humble, because water always travels to the lowest place, and water symbolizes to be shval ruach. So that's why a force, like sorcery, which is rooted in gaiva, cannot have power over something that has anivus. And the Ben Yayad explains further that the Gemara says, why are the power of sorcery, why is magic referred to as ksafim, maisek shafim rather, maisek shafim? He says, the Gemara answers, shemachishim pamalya shalmaila, that it's a contraction of the words that he contradicts shemayim. In other words, the sorcerer, what's he giving the impression? Sorcery is giving the impression that it is an independent power, independent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chalila, and that it has the power to determine if someone can live and if someone will die. And if so, it comes out that that's a denial of Hashem, because he feels like he's in power, not Hashem. And so we see here the root midah of sorcery is tied to gaiva. In order to practice sorcery, sort of deny the existence of Hashem, you have to be rooted in gaiva, and that's why gaiva and sorcery go hand in hand.